Chapter 17. The User with a Relationship. This type of porn user merits a separate chapter. Consider the case of this porn user and the effects porn addiction had on his relationship. I was 3 weeks into one of my failed attempts to quit. The attempt had been triggered by my wife's worry about my unreliable erections and lack of interest in sex. I told her that it wasn't her, just job pressure. She said, "I know you've handled the work pressure before, but how would you feel if you were me and had to watch someone you love systematically destroying themselves?" It was an argument I found irresistible, hence the attempt to quit. She knew I wasn't cheating, but in a way, this felt worse. The attempt to quit ended after 3 weeks after I had a heated argument with an old friend. It didn't register until years later, but I believe my devious mind deliberately triggered that argument. Afterward, I felt justifiably aggravated, and I don't believe it was a coincidence as I had never argued with this particular friend before, nor have I since. It was clearly me unconsciously trying to create a reason to use my addiction. Regardless, I had my excuse. I desperately needed a release, and it didn't matter how I got it. My wife was busy, and I had feelings of orgasm entitlement, so I convinced myself it would be okay if I restricted myself by avoiding hardcore porn sites and only watching YouTube videos. However, later that night, my wife wanted to make love. I was already spent from masturbating to orgasm over YouTube videos, so I invented a headache. I can't bear to think of the disappointment this caused my wife. Although I had made it 3 weeks before that, I quickly returned to my old ways, with YouTube becoming my new destination. I remember feeling quite pleased at the time, thinking that it was at least cutting my consumption down by using softcore content. Eventually, my wife accused me again of ignoring her in bed. I hadn't realized it, but she described the times I'd caused an argument and stormed out of the house. How I would take 2 hours to purchase some minor item, and how I would pretend to have muscle soreness. I'd made feeble excuses to avoid making love to her because I was getting much more reliable orgasms online. This case is so pitiful because it includes several of the most miserable elements of porn addiction. First, using a platform like YouTube allows the porn user to believe in the fallacy that they're more noble than those disgusting hardcore porn users. Even though they still feel deprived by not using hardcore porn, they get a strange pleasure out of restricting themselves to more softcore content. Their porn diet will never last, of course, but it's much easier to justify a porn session at the time. Secondly, by not allowing themselves to use the porn they really want, these types of porn users string themselves out, never fully committed, but never quitting either. By purposefully keeping some forbidden fruit out of reach, they keep themselves coming back for just a little more. Thirdly, by using porn to achieve sexual gratification, the porn user with a relationship causes themselves major losses in self-respect. They could be a very honest and caring person, but the addiction causes them to deceive their loved ones over and over. Addicted porn users face problems with websites like Twitch, YouTube, and Instagram. Driven by novelty-seeking dopamine urges, they trick themselves into believing they're on a safe site. But the thrill of porn is in the seeking, not the attaining, and the brain doesn't care where its fix comes from. For the porn user, soft content received in their various online feeds gives them fleeting relief of their withdrawal cravings, keeping them hooked and waiting to finally have a real porn session. The thrill of addiction is in the seeking. You may have watched the TV series Columbo. The theme of each episode is similar. The villain, usually a wealthy and respected businessman, has committed what he believes is the perfect murder. His confidence in remaining undetected receives a boost when he discovers that the unimpressive-looking Detective Columbo is in charge of the case. Columbo has the practice of closing the door after finishing his interrogation, having assured the suspect that he's in the clear. But before the satisfied look has disappeared from the murderer's face, Columbo reappears, saying, "Just one small point, sir, which I'm sure you can explain." The suspect stammers, and from that point onward he knows that Columbo will eventually wear him down until he confesses to the crime. No matter how ghastly the crime was, when Columbo begins to wear him out, our sympathies are with the murderer. The case of the noble porn user with a relationship is similar. The tension of not allowing themselves to cross the hardcore line to get the porn they rightly deserve, then wondering where the pleasure was after finishing the deed. After spending themselves for an illusion of pleasure, fearful of losing control, fearful of being caught in the act, and finally returning to bed, only to be stalked by guilt for betraying their partners. As soon as the safe YouTube videos no longer satisfy you due to brain desensitization and lack of novelty, you can be certain that you'll be visiting more hardcore porn sites to satisfy the cravings. The final humiliation and shame being when that certainty becomes a fact, there's an immediate return of binging and even deeper relationship problems. Isn't it great being a porn user? Chapter 18. No PMO and counting days. Mental and physical health have always been the main reasons why porn users want to quit using porn. We probably didn't need scientific research and knowledge in neurochemistry to teach us that internet porn is addictive and harmful. Our bodies are the most sophisticated objects on the planet. After the first few attempts and failures to quit porn, it becomes obvious to any porn user that they have a problem. Remember, porn users aren't stupid people. No one decided to trade the first few porn sessions for a lifetime of slavery and addiction. The reason why we become addicted to porn is because the dopamine cycle overlaps with our brain's essential programming. Internet porn is highly available, free, and streaming 24 hours a day. Porn was once considered a fringe activity, but that was when the images were in magazines and procuring videos required an expensive TV screen, VCR, and a trip to the local VHS store where everyone could see you buying porn. In those days, men didn't admit they masturbated. Being a jerk or a wanker was a derogatory term. In pubs, clubs, and bars, men are proud to take a woman home and have real sex. Today, the position is reversing. Coupled with cultural brainwashing which blurs the line between the amative and propagative aspects of sex, making it all about achieving orgasms, the internet porn addict realizes he doesn't need a woman. This is a frightening realization, and most porn users know something is wrong with this belief. Only a very small segment of society fully commits to substituting porn for real sex in the long run. One of the most significant trends in online porn recovery groups is the increasing emphasis on the antisocial aspects of porn. The days when a man boasted about having many sexual partners and orgasms every day is being replaced with the realization that men are enslaved to porn-influenced mindsets which blur the lines between amative and propagative sex and value only orgasms above all else. Porn users who continue to use porn even after being educated on its dangers are too afraid to quit completely. Others courageously step up and attempt to quit using one of the popular methods. One being quitting all PMO entirely, with or without partners. Practices that separate the amative and propagative parts of sex such as semen retention and carezza are discussed and adopted in attempts to reverse societal brainwashing and artificially enhance cravings for orgasms. Many failures to quit porn using methods like this are productive learning experiences somewhat benefiting people practicing them even if they failed to quit porn entirely. Once you start the no PMO route, you'll find the best fit that applies to your life. It's encouraged to devise your own plan on orgasms after understanding and practicing sexual separation. Whatever route you take, you'll see value in limiting the number of times you flush your brain with chemicals through artificially induced orgasms. Various popular online porn recovery communities founded by non-porn users are dedicated to quitting not only porn, but also masturbation. These sites are ultimately beneficial to those who are trying to quit, but most focus only on using willpower to quit. Using willpower creates the obsession with counting how many days in a row a porn user can survive without it, a practice that creates self-pity, feelings of being deprived, and lack of self-respect when the streak is broken. The brainwashing is alive and well. The porn user is still fighting the tug of war. As people using willpower to quit begin to fail, a domino effect takes place. Other porn users watching each other fail to quit start to believe that it requires nearly superhuman effort to quit. They start looking for the opportune moment to start another attempt. Everything has to be perfect. They have to feel perfect. Any little up or down in life will ruin their equilibrium and make them fail again. Efforts to quit porn in this way are not in vain. Much self-discovery and learning will result. Gaining freedom from porn using the willpower method is possible, albeit with lots of self-torture as they try to force themselves to quit the act itself, but do not deal with the desire and craving for it. The method in this book works because it focuses on shutting down the desire and craving first, before quitting the act. No willpower is required to quit doing an activity you no longer want to do. You just stop.